What I love telling people about Vehicle for Good is that majority of people are coming in because of the car. That's how we're getting most people, right? They want a chance to win something, but they're feeling good about it because it's going towards a good cause. So we're actually getting, I think, over time, more and more people that are staying engaged and want to participate in the next one. We're getting a lot more people that are showing up each time now versus just one and done, because they're like, you know what? Someone's going to win it. It could be me. But at the end of the day, my money's not being thrown away. It's being used for good. And people will benefit. There'll be a nonprofit that's doing some good in the world that will walk away with a check because I was participating.
This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Listen in as top association executives tell all, revealing the creative and innovative ways they're increasing membership, generating revenue, nurturing engagement, and reimagining their organizations. By the way, if you've launched a new initiative, created new member services, or updated your governance structure and are seeing great results, I want to hear your story, and so do my listeners. I'd love to have you as a guest. Go to podcast.matrixgroup.net and apply to be on Associations Thrive. Now let's dive into this week's show. Today, I'm speaking with James Thorne, CEO of Vehicle for Good. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joanna. I'm so grateful to be on. Appreciate it.
James, tell us about Vehicle for Good.
What Vehicle for Good is we are a sweepstakes, 501c3 sweepstakes company helping other nonprofits raise funds. We have an application for nonprofits to come in. We choose the nonprofit that's going to benefit. And then we run a sweepstakes where we get a really nice car. That's where the audience comes in. People all over the country get excited about a really sweet ride. They enter for their chance to win. Their donations are tax deductible because we are 501c3. Through their chance to win, they're helping benefit nonprofits, so they feel good about what they're doing. That whole process raises money. We pay off our expenses and a nonprofit gets cut a check.
Okay, so say I'm running a small nonprofit. You will do a sweepstakes for me and you'll raffle off like some amazing European fancy sports car. And you'll get donors from around the country. And after expenses, the nonprofit gets the remaining portion of the funds.
That's correct. We are buying cars and it's considered a sweepstakes. A raffle is actually considered gambling and ours is not.
Okay.
And people all over the country can enter to win. They donate money anywhere from $10 to $150 or more. They get entries in that sweepstakes. And then at the very end of the sweepstakes, we close it out. Our electronic drawing system through another company does the drawing. We get a name. I call a winner. And then after that process is over, we see how much money we have left after we've spent on marketing in the vehicle. And the rest of that money goes to the nonprofit involved.
So, James, how do you pick the nonprofits that you work with? Because you said that there were these small nonprofits that had gotten turned down by another firm. And you said, I'm going to do something different. So what kind of nonprofits do you work with and how do you pick them?
So we got our 501c3 through the IRS to only work with nonprofits that can't afford professional marketing and fundraising. We had to lay out our own bylaws and terms for what that meant. And through our experience working with smaller groups over the past 5 years, we set a couple guidelines that give some parameters based on an example. If you don't spend more than $100,000 a year in fundraising or marketing, if you don't have anyone on your team that is full-time with the title, fundraising, marketing, developer, as long as you don't have someone on your team that's full-time. And we've got a couple other things in there. That helps us at least create a baseline for someone to come in. They fill out an application and then our board goes through those applications. And we're only a couple years old. So we are working mainly with people that we have worked with in the past because we already know and trust them, right? We know the money's going to a good place. We know how it's being used. And that's what we're looking for in these applications too. So that then sets up an interview to talk through the process. And once we pick someone as a beneficiary, they don't have to do anything. There's nothing that they have to pay. There's nothing that they have to do. If they want to help create awareness and promote, which most do, they can. Outside of that, they're just the beneficiary. They're the ones that we promote that the sweepstakes is going towards. And at the end, they receive a check.
So James, give us examples of the organizations that you've benefited.
Yeah, currently right now we're running one. It's a Corvette that we're giving away, and it's benefiting two nonprofits that support veterans. So we kind of played on the name, and it's like a vet for vets.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So it's been fun because people are coming in and they're getting excited about the car, but then like, oh, veterans, that's amazing. So they're seeing the two causes or the two nonprofits we're supporting. The last one we did, we gave away a Ram Power Wagon truck, and it went towards a group that helped foster and adoption kids. And this specific group is helping teenagers before they age out find forever families. So we were able to use that and promote that, helping kids find families, win a truck. And we're about to go into one next where we have a Porsche that we're giving away, and we're helping a group that are helping people beat homelessness, people that are maybe smaller families, veterans, people that just need a little help to get back into a home and off the street. So I have a heart too. There's probably three main areas I have a heart for. One is just water, food, and shelter. Second is poverty, homelessness, veterans. And third is foster adoption and unification. So we kind of set it up just out of my heart for those. Those are like the three main buckets we're starting with. And then we hope to expand from there as we figure it out, because eventually we should be able to do multiple sweepstakes at once.
What kind of revenue can a nonprofit expect to receive from a single sweepstakes?
That's always questions we get as well. And it's really hard to determine because we're learning by vehicle as well. When we send things out like ads, and we're learning kind of what the audits are getting excited about, right? Every time we've upped the ante on the vehicle, we get more people involved and more people donating. And that's a higher risk sometimes because you're spending more money.
Right.
When we started, the very first one we did was a flop in terms of raising money. We didn't really make any money. I lost some money. Still gave some money away to the nonprofit. But then we went to the second car and we were able to turn that around. So we went from raising $36,000 the first time to $124,000 the second time to $262,000 the third time. And we're now on our fifth sweepstakes right now. And we're closing out this Friday. We're already over $320,000. So we've been able to up it each time. And we're testing a few things out that might get us into the millions over this next year based off of the audience that we're growing and the cars that we're giving away.
Boy, that's amazing. And so like if I'm a nonprofit, how much of that do I get to keep?
That's another question we always get. And I always tell them, I don't know till it's over.
Okay.
So basically, we're not giving away 10% or 15%. We're giving away everything after we spend money on the vehicle and the marketing expenses. And sometimes we spend a little more on marketing, testing some things. I'll give you an example. The truck that we raised this past fall was our last one before we closed this one. We raised $262,000 and we cut a check for $140,000 to the nonprofit.
Wow. And they didn't have to do anything and they didn't have to lay out any money.
That's correct. Our hope is that people come in and they don't have to put any skin in the game. That's really why the nonprofit is set up for us. Our 5 years I've spent just in marketing fundraising with the groups that have paid us to do work. That's the number one issue, raising money. It's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And I have a for-profit business, right, that runs that agency. And my business coach always tells me, you know, the number one rule in any business is to not run out of money.
Right. That's a good rule.
That's it. Everything else does it. Like, you could do all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, you just can't run out of money. So with that, that kind of really drove the force for this nonprofit being, it's the biggest thing that we all have to focus on and work on in our nonprofits. So if I can help alleviate that, especially with some smaller groups that are really getting started, or have only been around for so many years, to help give them some more funds that they can make better decisions with, or a little room, wiggle room. That's really the heart for it.
Well, so James, let's turn to your own journey for a second before we go back to Vehicle for Good. What kind of background do you have that you're able to do all this? And are you still running the for-profit agency?
I spent about 10 years working for two large churches in the DFW area that my main role was communication. And when I say large churches, some of them multiple campuses, thousands of people, my role was to really help figure out how to communicate to these people and then how to bring more people in that are in the community. And through that, I worked on building teams. I ended up overseeing missions and groups. And I loved what I did. I built teams to do that. But I really enjoyed the media and communication aspect of that side. And then one day I just got an itch to start my own thing. I started that journey and it probably took about 2 years to get to that point where I fully stepped out. And it was a great transition into doing this by myself. It was hard doing the job. The past 5.5 years now I've been doing this. I love working every day. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't ever get up and not enjoy what I'm doing. another answer to your question, how I'm able to do this. I've been able to bring other people around me that are 10, 15, 20 years older than me that are really experienced in specific things that work in our agency, that without them, I don't think we'd be doing what we're doing today. So I'm really grateful to have some of these people that some of them are just contractors. Some of them are more involved on day to day, but they are way more skilled and advanced in figuring us how to fundraise, how to communicate, and even coach people with strategy.
Wow. Well, let's turn back to Vehicle for Good. You pick a nonprofit and then you pick the car. So what's the craziest car you guys have featured in a sweepstakes?
We've updated each time. So this Corvette that we're doing right now is the coolest one we've done. The next one that we're doing, we're upping it again. It's a Porsche 718 Cayman GTS 4.0.
Oh.
So people that know about cars, really, really sweet ride. And then this fall, we're launching through a partnership, a classic Ford Bronco 1974. It's been restored, modified, really cool car, but it's up in the ante again. It costs more.
Yeah, yeah.
But we know there's more excitement behind it. So we're trying to balance that to where we've gone to probably our max spin on a car, or maybe there isn't one. I don't know. But yeah, to answer your question, it's hard because I think we're in the middle of still figuring that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you're experimenting with ways to get the word out. So let's transition to that. Like, in order to raise $300,000, you need a lot of people donating, right?
Correct.
And so how do you get the word out? And is it your list and your social, or are you also relying on the network of the nonprofit?
So when you mentioned a lot of people to donate, the average donations for most people for a nonprofit, I think, is around $50 to $60 total. It's the same for us. It's really incredible. Each time we've done it, it's been around $50 to $60 average donation. And for this current one, we're already at 6,400 people that have come in.
Wow.
So we are doing that through creating partnerships and getting in influencers to work with. And we are building our own list. We're figuring out ads on Meta, like Facebook and Instagram. We're figuring that out. That's growing each time we do it. But the only way we've been able to really get to where we are today are those partnerships and working with influencers.
Okay, so let's dive into that. So what does a partnership look like?
From my perspective, you're really trying to create a mutual benefiting agreement between you and another company, or you and another organization that has either some sort of following or resource, or a lot of nonprofits that are probably listening to your podcast, you know, they're going out sometimes and getting sponsorships for a gala or sponsorships right. for an event, right? It's the same type process, but we are actually looking for people that have a big audience and following outside of just money.
Ah.
So our current partnership we have with CarPro out of Houston, Texas, they came on board, they tested us with the sweepstakes, and now they've signed up to promote 3 cars a year for the next 3 years. And they have a radio show that's syndicated all across the US. So they're promoting the sweepstakes. They're making a percentage of what they bring in because we can track all of it. And I'm not having to pay anything up out front. I just pay based off of what they bring in. And it's been a great setup for us because we're not out any money until they bring it in. We're always the higher percentage. Now, gaining that partnership is another thing, right? And that's hard to do, which I think anyone would attest to with raising money and big donations. It's taken time, meeting after meeting, talking with different people, over organizations, CEOs, business leaders, and you make a connection, you network, and you ask for more connections. And eventually I came across Tom Haynes at CarPro. Sure enough, we hit it off. Took probably about 4 or 5 months of conversation, and we launched a sweepstakes. So that's been one of our most benefiting partnerships.
And what does that look like? They talk about the sweepstakes, they do a video, they put it on social. What does that partnership look like?
Yeah, I actually would have thought we'd be on the radio, honestly.
Yeah.
We were working a lot on social media. That's where my agency works. We've never done radio work. Just so happened to fall into place where it worked out both sides, but they are talking about it on the radio. They're putting ads out on the radio that's also syndicated in different stations, and they're telling them to go to carpro.com, right? So they're saying, go carpro.com, join the sweepstakes, enter in and win this vehicle. They're talking about it. They have a talk show every Saturday as well where people jump on the phone and they're talking to people, and they'll also just talk about it then. On their website, they have a top header bar on their website, and then they send out emails, and they've built an email list. There are now over 100,000 people on an email list that are pretty engaged. From their website and their email list, they've got a link that is trackable from our end. So when someone goes to the website, listen on the radio, or they get an email and they click it, then it's automatically tracked on our site. It goes to our site, they engage, they donate, they participate, and it shows on our back end what has come in through their link. So they can also see what they've brought in and what they're going to make from it.
James, that is fascinating. So it's a completely different type of sponsorship. It's really affiliate marketing or influencer marketing. So CarPro is one partner.
That's right.
But on the website, you also have individual influencers that you work with. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The same affiliate link is the same thing we're doing with influencers. And the only difference is, I think, outside of partnership with an influencer, is that it's one person that has really worked hard to build an audience. And everyone's following that one likeness, that one face, right? That one person. And if you're able to connect to them and create some sort of mutual agreement as well, where they can benefit from it, they're doing the same thing. They're maybe posting a video, or they're sharing some posts or stories, and they're putting that link on there or directing people to that link from their bio to be able to be trackable. And we've seen influencers that have brought in $30,000 to $40,000 with posting one video, and that's all they had to do.
Oh my God. So this is working.
It does work. Now, the time it takes to build those relationships is the hard part. But once you have them and they want to keep engaging, then it's just a matter of, do they fit with the cause? Do they fit with the car, right? What's their motivation and promotion? Once you can align those things with them, then you're just setting them up with affiliate. They're able to track it themselves. And some of them get motivated, right? Toward the end, they're like, oh, that worked. Let's do a couple more shout outs, because you never know what amount of money that could bring in, which they're benefiting from.
So it's interesting, especially with influencers who have some kind of affiliation, either with cars or maybe with the cause, they're benefiting because they're getting a percentage. But through their following, everybody benefits. You benefit, and the nonprofit certainly benefits.
That's right. And what I love telling people about Vehicle for Good is that majority of people are coming in because of the car.
Ah, okay.
That's how we're getting most people, right? They want a chance to win something, but they're feeling good about it because it's going towards a good cause. So we're actually getting, I think, over time, more and more people that are staying engaged and want to participate in the next one.
Ah.
We're getting a lot more people that are showing up each time now versus just one and done, because they're like, you know what? Someone's going to win it. It could be me.
Right.
But at the end of the day, my money's not being thrown away. It's being used for good. And people will benefit. There'll be a nonprofit that's doing some good in the world that will walk away with a check because I was participating.
So someone like my son, who's an absolute car guy, might decide to make a donation because he's really interested in the car, but he can also feel good about the donation.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's what I believe is working out each time we do this. Because even our ads that we're sending, we're getting some interest, a lot of interest on the front end about the car. And then the ones that don't donate right away, and we're sending other ads about the cause, they're coming in with a higher conversion rate. We're actually making more money on that side because they're kind of seeing both sides. Like, okay, I was really interested in the car. I wasn't sure about it yet, but now I'm learning about what you're doing with it. And like, okay, why not?
Sure. Instead of $50 to maybe get a chance to win a car, I'll give $100, $150 because it's a tax-deductible contribution to the nonprofit.
Exactly. And we, us being a 501c3, how it's set up through sweepstakes, you get a tax break just from donating through Vehicle for Good. And that's also a great incentive for people that are already planning on donating money.
Right, right.
Right, that they have some extra resources and they need to offload some of that cash. Where, great, why not put in a chance to win something big and still give back?
James, it sounds like there are some very powerful lessons here for nonprofits about non-traditional fundraising, but also about influence marketing, which I think a lot of organizations are very new to or reluctant to really dive into. So what's the lesson here?
That's great that you make that point. I have a lot of conversations with nonprofit leaders that really do want to try new things, right? I think a lot of people just jump on whatever bandwagon, you know, new thing that comes out, let's try it, right? But I think the lesson is really the things that you're doing could be working. When you say non-traditional ways to fundraise, that's what I say a lot. What are ways you can do that are non-traditional, things that maybe you've always done and that you kind of change or just experience some new ways to do it? Because things are changing, times are changing, technology's changing. I'm not saying that you need to do away with things that have worked in the past. I think that you can bolster, improve, or tweak what you've done to make more room for yourself. And even some of our digital strategy we've done with groups have allowed nonprofits to not have to focus so much on the energy it takes to pull off an event as much as let's set it up and repeat itself through technology. And once it starts working, then you kind of have a snowball effect. So yeah, to your point, I think the lesson is just be open to what is out there, not saying you have to get on TikTok, not saying you have to go, you know, set up an Instagram account today. I'm saying there are things out there that other people might be already doing that you can join in with them, like Vehicle for Good or other organizations.
Do you have a tip for working with influencers?
Yes. I would say be very, very focused on what matters to them and be hyper-focused on making sure they know how they're benefiting and that they are number one priority in the process. And I don't say that for that to even to come across in a weird way for people that are influencers. I worked with them. They've worked really, really hard to get to where they're at. And they've spent years and years and years. Some people love to be like, oh, it'd be nice to be an influencer, you know, overnight success. And the reality is they've worked years, sometimes decades to get to this point of a constant grind that most people just aren't willing to do. So to them, it is very personal.
Ah.
What they've built is really personal.
Because literally their name is on the line.
That's correct. It is very personal to them. And I have crossed some lines that I learned from in that process that I didn't even realize. Because it maybe wasn't as important to me, or realizing, oh yeah, this is your livelihood. This is how you make money. And if this is disrupted, you don't make money anymore.
Right, right.
And some of them making really good money. And it's just scary for them because some of them, they can't even believe they gotten to this point. Right? They're like, wow, I can't even believe I'm here. They're making all this really good money. But this fear of it could all be taken away tomorrow. It could all just go away because Facebook decides to change an algorithm or the government decides to shut down TikTok. Right? At any moment, it could be taken away. So I think just be really cautious and aware of what they've built and how they benefit through it.
James, if I have a listener who runs a nonprofit that maybe doesn't have the resources to do their own fundraising and could use your help, we'll put a link in the show notes and maybe they'll submit an application.
That would be amazing. And for whatever reason, if you don't either qualify through Vehicle for Good or we can't get to you right away, we've got resources through Quirk, our for-profit. And we've got a book we can send you. There's things that we can get you started with that get you thinking about non-traditional ways to fundraise, or at least some resources to help on your journey.
And it sounds like you're always doing sweepstakes. So for people who are car people, but who also want to do some good in the world, let's send them to vehicleforgood.com. And even though it's .com, you are a nonprofit, you're a 501c3, and maybe they can make a donation to some worthy organization and maybe win a car.
That's right. Yeah, it's a fun way for your audience to go check it out and engage and donate, but also through that, maybe find other ways that maybe their creativity gets sparked to do something different. But yeah, it's in the immediate, for sure. You never know who's going to win that car.
Absolutely. James, this was a terrific interview. I learned so much about sweepstakes and fundraising and influence marketing. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back in the future and tell us about the growth of Vehicle for Good and all the new and different things that you're doing.
Joanna, I love that. I would love to. And I just appreciate you creating more awareness for what we're doing.
Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends. Bye!